All right, guys, I've been waiting for this one. Have you started holiday shopping yet? If you're like me, 2020 has felt like the longest year, yet here we are, getting ready for the holidays. And just like most everything else, even shopping looks a little bit different, and that's where Sally Sue Collections comes in. They're an online boutique with personalized goods to fit your taste and style, and there's plenty of fun and sassy items in stock and ready to ship. Mugs to tumblers to shirts and hats and gifts for our amazing teachers and frontline workers, SallySueCollections.com has you covered. Give the gift of thoughtfulness this year and stand out with fun and unique items, and you'll also be supporting a local business. And that's what this whole thing is about. Shop local, support local. With SallySueCollections.com, your shopping experience is 100% contactless. And keep in mind that due to the volume of online shopping this year, orders are anticipated to be high. So what does that mean for you? Shop early and then kick back and enjoy your time with friends and family. There's never been a better year to plan ahead, shop safely, and find those special gifts for your loved ones, friends, and colleagues. And that's where SallySueCollections.com comes in. Visit them. SallySueCollections.com. Get in there, get your gifts, and have a rocking end of the year. All right, guys, you know that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hepias. Hepias is your number one place to go for premium CBD products at a fraction of the cost. This is perfect for any first-time user and for the veteran user. There's no THC. It's locally sourced and third-party tested, so you don't have to worry about paying for any fancy celebrities or a drug test. These guys have something for everybody, and I personally enjoy their products. In fact, my favorite one's the Sleep Aid. So go check them out, HepiasMed.com. HepiusMed.com. Right in time for the holiday seasons. Again, go check them out, HepiusMed.com, and have fun. Okay, guys, you know what time it is. It's time for me to introduce my next guest. Today, I had the opportunity to interview Christiana Crin, who is a commercial designer, interior designer. She does commercial properties as well as like residential interior design, though. She's based out of Chicago, so this was a really fun one. She reached out, and I had an awesome conversation with her. We did this live on StreamYard, so you can go check out that video on my Facebook page or on YouTube, the Thinking Project YouTube channel. But she owns Perpetuum Designs, which, like I said, is an interior design company. But she had a fantastic story coming all the way from Romania, landing here in the United States, and then just making an awesome life for herself and really killing it. Just a very inspirational story to hear about from her and just how she made it. So please tune in. Also, don't forget to follow me on Facebook, follow me on Instagram at Dalton K. Jensen, or join the Thinking Project group on Facebook. So without further ado, Christiana Crin, and I hope you guys enjoy. Welcome, everybody. This is Dalton Jensen, and you're tuning into The Thinking Project. All right, cool. Well, we're rolling, Christiana. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we were talking a little bit about before this, just about what you do with interior design and things like that. So why don't you start and just tell me a little bit about and us a little bit about what you do and what your business is?
My business, I'm actually going to start even more from the beginning.
Okay,
I have an accent, obviously. I came to America 15 years ago with a suitcase and $300. And I was chasing the American dream.
Okay.
And not knowing what that means and not knowing, you know, what's gonna happen. And then about 10 years ago, I fell in love by accident with interior design and architecture. I got a job with a development company, architectural
oh,
and
wow.
development company. And that's how everything started. And then I worked through different companies to learn processes and, you know, get as much as I could experience, because I knew that one day I'm going to want to do this by myself. And this is how it was all born. I got the experience. I worked different jobs. I worked my way up in all these companies. And finally, 4 years ago, I...
Oh, you're good. Go ahead.
I decided to start my own company.
Oh, wow. And you started that company. I mean, what made you want to start your own company?
You know, when you have a job, and we can all relate to this, when you have a job and, you know, you work with a great team of people, but your work doesn't get recognized. Your talent is owned by your employer. So I was lucky to be able to work with amazing people, and I'm still in touch with all of them today. There was one company that I used to work for, and we actually had a project together last year. So I left in good terms with everyone. I'm really happy, and I'm very grateful for everything that I learned there. It's just that, you know, I wanted to fly on my own and, you know, find my own wings and find my own path. So.
Yeah. Good for you. And you felt like that was with your company right now, interior design and all that.
Yeah, so I started with nothing, basically. My first project, which was a friend of mine, was opening a restaurant, and she just told me, you know, you need a project, you need experience, just hop in and just do your best and let's see what it's going to turn out. And that was actually my first project. And, you know, I started that with them, and then two other commercial projects started coming my way from friends of a friend, or, you know, word of mouth. And I found myself being overwhelmed. And I said, you know, I can't do this with a 9-to-5 job and then do this at night, because I'm burning out, and, you know, it's just too much. So I had to leave my job, and I continued to do my own projects, and, you know, one finished and then another one came, and it's been 4 years, and here I am.
Oh, there you go. So you've been doing this for 4 years now.
Yes, on my own.
Wow, that's awesome. And it's just, I mean, did you ever think that it was going to end up like this? Like, you were going to have your own business? I mean, because I know a lot of people end up doing that, right? They go from the corporate world, or they go from like their 9-to-5, and they try to transition, and they end up going, you know, full blast on their own dream, right? On their own business. But did you think that that's what you wanted to do?
So that was my goal from the very beginning. When I realized that what I wanted to do is be part of this world. So I have, I'm Romanian. I was born and raised in Transylvania. And I have a journalism degree from back home, which I knew that I'm not going to utilize here in the United States, because the system is different. I was supposed to go back to school to just get more, to get my degree equivalent here. It was just a hassle. So then I wanted to find a job, whatever. My first job was an executive assistant for this architectural company. And that's how it all started. And I knew that once I figured out that this is definitely the world, professional world that I want to be in, I went back to school. I got my interior design degree. And then I realized while going to school that, you know, residential, it's fun and it's nice, but it might be a challenge. So I was really, really focused on the commercial aspect and commercial part. So then I went and I pushed even further and got commercial certificates, because that's what I wanted to do. And I knew that I'm going to have to learn and push myself for the next, I don't know, 5-10 years maybe, to learn as much as I can about the industry. Okay. So my doubts came after. I quit my job. I went on my own. It was wonderful. The first year was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I started bumping into walls, and, you know, I'm not very, I don't want to say that I'm an introvert. I wouldn't consider myself to be like that, but I always knew that, you know, I'm not the Kim Kardashian type of girl, like, to have my name out there and to just, you know, to be out there and just in public. So right. I thought, you know, my work is going to speak by itself. You know, people are going to see that not only I'm proud of everything that I designed right now, but what I'm most proud of is the fact that I can do a project beginning to end and know that if I promise the client to have a deadline or if I have a budget and I know that I can't go past that, I do, you know, I have successful projects right now, and I can honestly say that, you know, every client that comes back, it comes back for a reason. So,
yeah,
you know, I thought that everything's gonna just, you know, take its course and it's gonna be okay. And my second year was hell, and I wanted to quit 100 times. So even though I knew what I wanted to do and I knew that that's going to be the path that I'm going to follow, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. Mm. For me, it was incredibly hard. I quit like 10 times. I said, you know, I'm just going to go home or get another job or just, it's hard.
Like, yeah.
Business life is hard until you get your name out there and until people get to know you and trust you.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yes.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, I like what you said about that. You know, about getting your name out there. In my experience, the hardest part about starting a new business or being in business in general is the fact that no one knows you, right? No one knows your name. And like you said, I think you mentioned another really good point, you know, the trust, right? How did you go about, you know, getting your name out there, building the trust with clients, earning those referrals? How did you do that?
So it all started with friends. And, you know, every time I talk to other people, I reached out to other entrepreneurs and other people that have been in business for a long time or longer than me.
Yeah.
And I joined the Chicago Women in Architecture and Design Association. Their headquarters is here in Chicago. I know that it spreads more to the Chicagoland and the suburbs and the entire Illinois. But so I reached out to them and I was invited to witness, to be a guest and witness some panelists talk about business and their accomplishments. And during this session, I started asking questions, and I was the only one in the room that had question after question after question. And I was just so hungry and eager to learn, what does this mean? Because in the past, I couldn't go back to my boss if I had a job, you know, within a company and say, hey, what did you do? How did you start? Because, I mean, you can't just do that, you know. So, and there was this beautiful woman. Her name is Belinda O'Kelly. She's a very popular architect here in Chicago. And she handed me her business card and she said, you know, I want to help you. And I left the room and then I had tears in my eyes. Literally, I couldn't believe it. And I picked up the phone and I called my mom, and it was 2 a.m. in the morning in Romania. And I'm like, guess what just happened? Oh my God. Like, this woman said that she's going to help me and she's going to give me tips. And I was so impressed because I wasn't expecting that.
Right,
I was not expecting that. So I'm going to say that we have not yet had a project together with Belinda, not a single one, but a lot of the things that I have been doing and a lot of the things that I'm still doing today came from her advice. So, her advice and everyone else's that is big out there, and, you know, they all started from somewhere.
Yeah.
Everyone says you start from home. And you start with friends. And that's what I did. Now, some of these friends, I'm going to be honest, we did projects together and then we were no longer friends.
It's so
just like, you know, it's funny because it's like some people say, be careful who you do business with. And if it's family, think twice. Now, I can say the same thing about friends because, you know, my family is not here and, you know, my friends are my family. I have done projects with friends and those projects brought us closer together, and it happens. But then also I had friends that I considered them friends for 10 more than 10 years.
Wow.
And the project ended and we are no longer friends. So jeez, it's a risk. It's a risk. It's yeah, definitely a risk. But that's how you start, you know, and you ask people to recommend you. You ask your friends to talk about you, and then you reach out to people that you used to work with in the past. Maybe they can promote you on their social media or say something nice or make a comment to something you're posting. Or I'm still learning social media. I'm not that good. I never had an Instagram account until last year or 2 years ago when I started a business Instagram account. Just because I just don't like being in the spotlight. I'm just not that type of personality, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how everything started. And then you do a project and you do it well, and then you ask the client for a review, and then they might have a friend, or they might have another business partner, or, you know, and it's slow. It's painful sometimes, but this is just the way you do it.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. And I think the biggest thing, you know, that you mentioned that I thought was awesome. And by the way, I've heard this a lot from people, is like, you start with your friends, but like, be careful. How did you deal with how did you have to learn that lesson? You did some business with some friends, right? And some of the ones you said, are you no longer friends with? Why do you think that is?
So my first few projects, I had to do them for free. And I think that everyone does this. So, and you know, you're thinking, okay, I'm doing this for free and I'm doing my best. And I'm doing, I actually ended up doing a great job. Like, for like this one particular project, it's actually a public project, and it's in the world of hospitality. And if you go on the business page or their business page, you know, there's so many reviews of your interior, you have such a cozy, beautiful atmosphere. And but every time I send a client in, and every time, you know, I send someone over a reference, because I use my restaurants, everything that I design, and it's a public space, I use it as a business card, of course. So if I have a new client and they're wondering, okay, I see pictures, but is there anything that we can see live? Then of course I'm going to send them to my project, you know, just go grab a burger or go get a drink and just experience the whole thing, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's just, I got a review, and I actually got a very beautiful review from them. And then every time I would send someone over and they would ask questions about the design, they would not mention my name. I can't explain. I don't know. I know. So that's it was painful, to be honest. It was painful that my friends will do this to me. That was heartbreaking. But then, hey, you just get up and you just keep moving. And it took me a couple of months to wrap my head around this. And I just couldn't believe it. I was heartbroken. But, you know, I spoke with other people, other business people, and they all told me the same thing. You can dwell on this, and you can just you can let it bring it down, or you can just move forward and, you know, just be positive and trust that what you do well. And and then I stopped sending people there, you know, like I would just show them the pictures, and I said, you know, this is what I did. And funny thing, they're no longer in business. And it's just, it's terrible. It's terrible. So terrible, because, first, it's heartbreaking for any business, because I know how hard it is to want to do that. Things were a little sour between us, but, I would not wish this upon anyone, because I know everyone invests money and time and passion, and time and money are the most crucial things that anyone would invest in their business. And to have your dreams crushed, I just my heart aches just thinking about it. But yeah, I have to stay positive, you know?
Yeah, you got to stay positive and that's a, you know, another great point. I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, those are the kind of stories that people really, that really resonate with people, because it's so easy to read about this in a book or to look at somebody online and say like, hey, look, I started my business. It sucked at first, but look where I'm at now. And I really appreciate your story about, you know, about how, you know, your friends weren't giving you credit where credit was due. You know, it was really hard for you to do all these things, because I think that just shows what kind of resilience it takes to run a business and to actually succeed in business too, right? Because you know, we met, we talked, and you seem fairly, I mean, you seem like you're doing fairly well right now. You know what I mean? And I think that's a big difference.
Oh, yes, of course. And again, Dalton, you know, for everyone out there that's thinking to start a business, it's hard. It's for me, it was hard. And I think that we should be prepared. I wasn't prepared for this. I was not, to be honest. And, you know, I have friends that actually their businesses spiked in like just a few months. And I look at them and I'm like, wow, I'm impressed. What in the world did you do? Like, how did you do it? You know, give me the recipe. Tell me how is this possible? It's possible, but I think that if people are prepared for the worst, and then, you know, you wish for the best, things will unfold just a little bit easier. I was not at all prepared that it's going to be so hard. And then especially after doing things, you know, doing projects, not just with friends, with other, you know, clients and business partners. I think the hardest thing was to not see it, like after finishing a project, not to have my name recognized. I think that was the hardest. And it wasn't even, you know, it's not me, Christiana Kreen. It's, you know, I wanted the company, the name of the business to be out there and just for people to know about it. And it's been a struggle. It's definitely been a struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. But well, you're in the startup phase.
Right. Well, still, yes. I'm going to say yes. Just because it's been only recently, for the last year and a half, that I decided that I found my niche, you know, because when you talk about interior design, you talk about it's such a large profile. And I've done literally everything. I've done landscaping design, which has nothing to do with interior design.
Interior,
I wanted to try it out to see what it means and if I'll like it. I don't. I do it sometimes, but I do it in collaborations with people that that do this for a living and they're good at it. And we all work together. Just a couple of years ago, I had a project where we were building a whole house, like a house from scratch. And, you know, I was so excited and to see the project developing. And the fact that I was also involved in the drawings, in the architectural project per se. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? We have to do something with the surroundings. I mean, yes, a house is good, but we can't build something so beautiful and then just not worry about what's happening around. So I got some experience with that. It's about aesthetics, you know. It doesn't matter if it's a room, if it's a bedroom, if it's a kitchen, or if it's a business office of any kind, a restaurant, a hotel, you know, you have to think about what's outside those walls and doors as well. So, you know, we work, I had to learn plumbing and I had to learn, you know, to do electric plans.
Tell me like, you know, I like your story. Tell me the ins and outs of like what it actually means to be an interior designer as well. Like you just mentioned, you know, you had to learn plumbing and all these things. And then, you know, the difference between residential and commercial interior design. And did you think, I mean, did they is that part of interior design school where they show you, you know, blueprints and floor plans and how things work? I mean, tell me that. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So reading blueprints, actually, I learned from working in one of those construction companies. And that was part of my first job. You know, I was an executive assistant. I didn't know anything. And I was just seeing everyone busy and involved. And I'm like, okay, so what are you doing here? And then I went to one of the project managers in the company and I said, hey, can you teach me? What does this mean? Like, teach me how to read those things. I know it cannot be hard. So that's how I learned to read blueprints.
That's awesome.
And then, of course, you know, there's specific programs that you learn in design school. And, you know, that's where I learned how to use AutoCAD. And then that was the main program that everyone is using. Yeah. Then you have to just think a little bit more because, you know, a lot of times people think that an interior designer is, oh, just a decorator putting some colors and textures together. Oh, it's so much more than that.
Yeah, I bet.
And, yes, and I'm only saying this on the, let's just speak residential because, you know, everyone knows just a little bit. And, you know, you have to learn a little bit of plumbing. You have to learn that certain things won't be possible. When you're a designer, you imagine like the world, like one of my, the second restaurant that I ever did, I came up with this plan to put some fixtures together. And, you know, I found this affordable fixture on, I think it was on Amazon. And I said, okay, it's commercial certified. We can go ahead and use it. We can put everything together. It's gonna match the budget. And something that I never considered is the place didn't have the capacity to support all those fixtures in terms of electricity supply. So then we had to go with, we ended up, you know, asking a commercial electrician to come on site to take a look. And then the electrician comes and he says, well, this is going to be like $12,000.
Oh, geez.
Just say yes.
So yeah, holy cow.
As designers, we can want and we can imagine what like our creativity has no end. But if we have to talk to people that are going to execute that, the people that know what it means, and this is where we have to learn a lot, not just about you know what color goes with what texture and you know what goes where in terms of furniture and decorations. And you know, it's you know, I want to demolish or move a wall or, you know, cut half a wall and install a window. What does that mean? And it's a lot more than just, oh, let's play with some flowers and it's going to look pretty. It's much more than that. And then the residential world versus the commercial world, it's definitely different. When you do commercial and especially in restaurants and especially with the COVID, this is something that I actually enjoy a lot. The fact that a lot of things changed and I had to re-educate myself, but I got to a level where I know that a lot of professionals are struggling because you have to go back. If you're doing this for 20 years, to go back and just relearn the whole thing, it might be a little challenging. For me, I still consider myself a baby in the industry, you know?
Yeah.
And even though I do have a lot of experience now and I can say, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. Yes. I've been working in this commercial design and hospitality for 10 years, over 10 years. I know a significant amount of the business and what it takes to make a project. I'm still that girl that would go and grab a book or grab a magazine or just like surf at night on my phone, you know, like what's new and is there a new code that has been implemented? So for me, I'm curious. I'm still curious. For someone that has been doing this for 20 years, they know, okay, this goes here, this needs
right.
to be done, you know, like they're
right.
not so much into let's train ourselves or let's, you know, find out what's the newest code on the city. So this has been challenging for some.
Yeah.
As I said, for me, this has been to this year, despite everything that happened in terms of hospitality and restaurant designs, and I'm just finishing two restaurants here in Chicago right now, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to see the final results. And I had an artist go into one of them this morning, and we were talking about like certain designs that he's gonna. We're doing some murals on the walls, and I'm just so excited. I cannot wait to see everything being done. But it's been busy. I mean, this year has been really, really busy. People are looking to do more and to. I think one of the reasons is that they're starting to realize that because everyone is on a very tight budget right now, you know. So
right.
I think that everyone's trying to do a lot with very little resources. And I think that this is the reason where they start contacting designers and specialists. And it's funny because I had a conversation Friday morning with a potential new client, and she came to me and she was like straight up and she said, you know, I only have like 25 grand. Like, is this possible?
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be possible to do a gut rehab. And that's what she was thinking, you know, to demolish everything. But yes, a lot is possible with $25,000. I mean, that place can be transformed, and you know, a lot of things can be done. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
and how do you navigate? You know, with a custom, can you work with any budget, or how do you navigate that whole thing? You know, when a client comes to you and says, "I got X," you know,
I tell them realistically what can be done. Yes. So sometimes, the two projects that I'm finishing, very recently, hopefully in a week, maximum 2 weeks. One had a $30,000 budget and the other one had a $120,000 budget.
Oh, there you go.
But there's a very big difference between them.
Not
just space, but then also, you know, one was a gut rehab, and we were doing everything. We scraped like the walls and we just redid everything. And then for the other one, we redid the furniture, and then it was just cosmetic work. So a lot of, depending on what you want and depending on how much you can afford to do. And this goes for any, you know, yes, I'm doing restaurants right now, but a lot of any space, you know, we can be talking about a kitchen, just to redo the backsplash. If the cabinets are in good condition, just hire a painter, pick up a paint that you love in 10 years, you know, and just do this smart. And you don't have to, I mean, it is a beautiful world. And, you know, I can say that just by doing cosmetic little things, you can just transform any space. Yes.
That's fantastic. I want to go back to one of the things you said earlier when you were talking about your business and being prepared. You know, you mentioned that you didn't feel prepared, that you weren't prepared to get into business, right?
Yeah, I was not. Nope.
Do you feel like though, because I've heard for me, it's 50-50. I've heard a lot of people say like, you know, I wasn't prepared. And then some people, you know, said I was overprepared. And then you got people who were like, I was prepared just enough. And you know what I mean? And so it's kind of all over the place. Do you feel like you benefited from, you know, not being prepared, like that helped you jump into it? You know what I mean? Because I sometimes get that where somebody's like, you know, if I would have known this, I probably wouldn't have done it. How did you feel about that?
So the fact that I wasn't prepared, I would not do this if I would have to start all over.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know today, I would not do this without being 100% sure that I know what I'm doing. My biggest problem and okay. my biggest bump, let's put it like that, yeah. was the fact that I never thought about marketing. And
oh, okay.
that is just something that I can, from the day one when I went on my own, I knew how to take a project beginning to end. I knew everything that needs to be involved, just because I had like around 7 years back experience from working and testing protocols and implementing systems with other companies. So, and it's you know, shameful of me to say this, but I tested my ideas on someone else. And, you know, whatever didn't work, I just, you know, took it and worked on it and developed it. And to be honest, everything that I did before, I'm using today in my business. So from a structural point, I was overprepared in terms of how to do business. Once I had a client, I am capable of taking that client and taking that project beginning to end. I knew how to communicate. I knew where to push and when not to, because sometimes I have
you
to
have
tell
to
my client. Exactly. And the same thing that, you know, a plumber comes to me and says, "Are you insane? You want to put a kitchen like on that wall and just think like that's gonna cost you half of your project." Okay, so the same thing I have to tell my clients sometimes. Oh, you want to do that? Well, you're gonna have to come up with another extra, I don't know, $20,000-$50,000. I mean, you know, that's just not possible. So I knew how to do all that, and I was comfortable doing it. Doing a business, you have to think about elements and particularities that you've never thought before. Yep. So if I would have talked to someone that is in business and I would have asked the question straight, what does this mean? How did you make it? How did you end up here?
Right.
I would have known from the beginning that it takes a lot of networking. I'm not a big fan of networking. Just like networking events. I love networking and I love connecting to with people and just learning about them. But networking events where everything's loud and everyone talks at the same time. And, you know, that's just, you know, I'm almost 40. Yeah, yeah. I've done my disco years back in when I was a teenager. I was a teenager back in Romania. Yeah. We started going to clubs when I started when I was 16, because that's just the way that it was back then. So,
You know,
I'm done with all that.
Yeah, no
kidding.
So
now I'm more like, yes, of course. Now I'm more like, let's sit down. Maybe I can learn something from someone. And maybe, you know, I can make a new connection. Who's doing
for
what?
Sure.
If I can share my experience and someone can learn from it, just that's amazing. I'll do my best to give the best advice. But then I'm also there like asking questions. Like, I'm curious. I just have a curious personality. So that was the one thing that was missing. I was not aware to what extent you have to put yourself out there. You have to talk about you. And to this day, I don't really like talking about me. Like this is me, Christiana. You know, I'm good at what I do. Hire me. I'm definitely not good at doing that.
Yeah. Well,
I feel my work speaks for itself. So
Yeah. Well, that's tough for a lot of people, I think, when you get into business. I like that you mentioned that, though, that the hardest part for you wasn't doing what you wanted to do. It was finding people to do it for, right? It was the marketing. It was sales, right?
And then I'm going to say this to anyone that has a dream of opening their own business. I spent over $30,000 in marketing. I hired different companies.
Wow.
If any of the marketing companies is going to hear me, I have valid points. No one did anything for me, you know. Until recently when I started talking, so it was just a waste of money. People should not do this. You have to learn. You have to learn and you have to do it yourself. And to this day, you know, yes, I am the woman behind my company, but then I'm also the cleaning lady in the office. I'm also, you know, right now my living room is full of boxes with pendants because they arrived on Friday and the warehouse was not open. So I had to go get a van and load everything and just bring them home because I wasn't about to leave them in the street, you know.
Right.
You have to do things that if you think you're just going to get a business and you're going to be able to hire people to do like the groundwork, hopefully that's going to work for you. But I would suggest don't go there because you're still the person behind doing everything.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I definitely think there's, you know, pros to outsourcing, but you know what though, you're not the first person who's told me that, you know, a successful business owner, you're not the first successful business owner that's told me that when you first start, you should get a taste of everything, that you should know the basics of everything, you know, so especially marketing, because it's tough as a marketer, you know, you try your best to go over like, what are the goals that you want? What are our, you know, endpoints, you know, all those things, you know, where are we going to put our money to and all those things. But if as a business owner, you don't really, you know, you don't know your goals, you don't know maybe you have a niche market that you don't know your niche market or something like that. It's really tough for a marketer. And so then you get stories like this where you find somebody, because I've been guilty of it too, you know, you pour tens of thousands of dollars into marketing, into Facebook, Google, into a person, right? And you don't get what you thought you were going to get. Like that's really tough. So I think to your point, I think you have a very valid point that when you start your business, that you should know the basics, right? That you should know if you are going after a certain market, you should know what that is. You should know what they like. You know, if you want to market before you go find a marketer, figure out your goals, figure out, you know, your expectations, and then find somebody who's willing to work with you on that, because that'll go way further, right?
Yes, 100%. Yes, you have to learn everything yourself.
This was a mistake,
a big mistake that I did, because even after I saw that things are being rough, I should have just learned, and that would have saved me a lot, because I started learning this year, beginning of this year. And then once I started learning, you know, and once I didn't even know what SEO means, because I figured, you know, it's not my problem. I'm not going to become a marketer. I am not going to go to school for that. I am not going to waste my time on that, because there's so much to learn in my industry. And I love learning about that. And I love doing it. So I'm going to pay someone and just kind of cross my fingers and hope that, you know, that person is going to take the same type of pride in their business helping me, because I'm a client. I'm a paying client.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. And
you're right.
It didn't for me. And whenever I wanted to hire someone that is like really, you know, renowned, that cost a lot of money. And
I didn't have that type of money. Well, I think you're right, though. I think you're right. I have marketing friends who would side with both of us on this, right? That it's really, I mean, I know some of my marketing friends take a long time to pick up a client because they want to make sure that there's no, you know, there's no stone left unturned as far as what you want to do, because it's really hard, you know, when you want your business to grow and you do all these things. And because there's some people out there, there's some marketers, there's some, and people in general who'll just be like, yeah, I'll take your 30 grand and do whatever I want with it. And you know what I mean? And that doesn't work. And so you have to know the basics and know what you want to have like educated conversations. You know, I think that's the main point, and why I appreciate you coming on, is because that's a big deal that a lot of people don't realize, is you got to know all aspects of your business in order to, and you might not, like you said, you might not be a marketer, right? But you need to at least, you know, like you said, have educated conversations with them and not throw money away, because you can spend 100 grand on Facebook and get nothing for it.
Yeah. 100%. Yes, that is true. 100%. 100%.
That's tough.
And then this is, and you touched a good point just now when you said that, you know, you have to know also when you deliver a service, not just a marketer, as a marketer, but in any business. This is the other thing. There's anyone out there that ever that learned to say no before bumping their heads and before really thinking.
I agree.
I learned to do this. I have a good story here. It's funny.
Oh yes, please.
I had a client where we were just going the project. I don't think it's done yet, and it's been almost 2 years. She's still working on it. She was paying me by hour back then, and we were meeting, and we were just not going anywhere. And at some point, you know, we were meeting for coffee, and I'm like, you know, just it's fine. You know, I'm not complaining. You're paying me, but we're really not going anywhere. And we're gonna start resenting each other. And she had this so serious look on her face. And I think that I'm a little blunt sometimes, but I feel like now I'm more confident about the fact that I am blunt, because sometimes I just have to be.
Yeah, good for you.
What's the point? I mean, you know, we work together. Yeah. You're paying me. I'm not saying no to your money, but soon I'm going to want to see results, because I'm not doing this just for the money. I'm doing this because I want to see results. I want the time of the once the project is done, I want to take pictures. I want to look at it and say, yes, I did this. I'm proud of this.
Right.
I think anyone that goes into business, any type of business, wants a recognition at some point. And, you know, when you don't get results, I mean, money's good. I mean, we do this for the money, but, you know.
But there's also, you know, like you said, though, there's also some pride in what you do, though, because you want to be good at it. Like, you wouldn't be, you know, because at some point you got to say, like, I value, you know, my time. And if, you know, like you said, if I'm just going, you know, you're paying me by the hour and I'm not going to say no to your money, but if I'm not doing anything and I'm not getting anything, you know, to help further my skills or my marketing or anything like that, then, I think you're right. You know, there's no point in me keeping on going on.
So this is why I was just thinking, you know, I hire different marketers to do different things. I hired companies, individuals. And once I crossed the line, it was over $30,000. And I did not have one result. One.
Wow.
And that's a lot. And it was over three years. And then I thought, okay, like, my business has continued to grow because word of mouth, because, you know, I started getting, people started getting to know me because I started having spaces where I can send people, you know, if I do a residence, I mean, obviously I'm not going to send my clients to that but it's the way that you execute a project, the way that you move forward, the way that, you know, people talk about you. Make sure you do a good job, no matter what it is. Make sure you do a good job.
Well, and I think you mentioned a good point too, that traditional marketing might not be the best for some people in certain situations, but you've certainly found a way to market yourself through word of mouth, through social media. And that's the crazy thing. I think a lot of people need to understand again, and I'm glad that we got on this topic and that you shared this story, because a lot of people just think that you can throw money at the wall and something will happen. You know what I mean? Like, money fixes problems. And even in business, money doesn't fix all the problems, right?
Definitely not. Definitely.
You know, you exactly what you said. You got to figure out how to do it yourself. You got to know the basics. You got to, you know, and then you got to figure out what you want, you know, and some people kill it through word of mouth. Some people absolutely kill it. And I think interior design is one of those where you can kill it, crush it.
If you don't have a good reputation, that you're not going to get anywhere.
That's right.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
That's great. Oh, well, Christiana, thank you so much for for joining me today. And thanks for being here. So if somebody wants to know more about your services, where do they go to find you? You said you had Instagram. Do you have a website?
I have an Instagram. I have a website. The company name is Perpetuum Designs. A lot of people ask me to this day, what does that mean? It's the Latin-based word of the word, the English word perpetual.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's, I'm Romanian. It's a Latin-based language. So that's how everything started. Yes.
That's great. Say the company name one more time.
Perpetuum Designs.
Perpetuum Designs. Great. And what's your website?
Thank you. Perpetuumdesigns.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Christiana. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me. And I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.